Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
There's the principle. Timothy, you know what I meant to you? Now, would you take that and mean that to some other man? Who would take it and mean it to some other man? See, the whole principle of the New Testament church is not addition, it's multiplication. But all this begins because of a divine appointment and a providential relationship.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
Last time I told you that I came to Jesus Christ in my early 20s and that immediately I began to immerse myself in God's Word. And I began to grow in my faith and I began teaching and preaching at virtually every opportunity I had, and there were many. However, at that time, I limited my view of my faith to teaching and preaching the Word of God in public and generally arguing about the Word of God in private. And so what I believe happened is the Lord intervened. You see, I was attending a liberal Protestant church at the time after I had converted. And even though I loved the people of the church, I had great difficulty accepting the theology of the denomination. My parents, they had belonged to a Lutheran church, and their pastor was an evangelical, and his name was Fred Crozier. And Velma and I got to know Fred Crozier, and so my wife decided that she wanted to make an appointment for us with Fred Crozier. Now, the reason for the appointment was simply this. She, I believe, thought that I had fallen off the deep end. The term that she used was, I've known Christians my whole life and never one this fanatical, was the word. And then I went and proved it as we started talking. And we continued to talk, and first time I talked to a pastor, really loved the word like that, someone. We just kept talking, and Pastor Crozier said to me, you know, you sound like someone from Dallas Theological Seminary. And I thought, wow, that's really amazing. I knew I'd read some books, several books by Charles Ryrie and Dwight Pentecost. And he said, do you know that there is a Dallas Theological Seminary right here in Harmony, Pennsylvania, which is virtually right where we lived within a couple miles? I had no idea that that was the case. I do remember this, though. It was an evening Bible study or an evening worship service at the church, and Velma and I attended. And I can remember being so overwhelmed emotionally. It was the first time that I'd ever been in a church context where someone was preaching the Word of God. I felt like the men on the road to Emmaus when they said that their heart just burned in that context. We then met Pastor Dave, and he had an immediate effect on my life as well as a profound long-term effect. You see, to me, Pastor Dave modeled the marriage of theological precision and unbelievable, overwhelming humility. I still have yet to meet a man that humble in Christian leadership. He was instrumental then in for me to start a completely different kind of career. He was instrumental in me eventually going to Dallas Theological Seminary. He had a profound effect in that way. But until I had that conversation with Fred Crozier, I would have never known that Dave Gutchess even existed. As I think back on that, I would call that a divine appointment that started a providential relationship. I have started a series a few weeks ago, and I said this: God wants all of us to have great faith. Not just faith, but great faith. He wants our faith to be so profound as individuals that we would stop admiring people of great faith, even though we should, and start becoming people of great faith. And I said that what God does in order to give you the opportunity for your faith to really grow, he gives us five different kinds of experiences or circumstances by which your faith can grow. The last time we said that whenever you apply the Word of God, your faith will grow. Hearing the Word of God is not enough. Understanding the Word of God is not enough. You have to apply the Word of God. As James says, you have to be a doer of the Word and not just a hearer. This morning, I want to talk about this idea that we take advantage of providential relationships that God puts in your life. Thirdly, we need to commit to a sense of a private spiritual life of private discipline. Fourthly, you need to pursue some sense of personal ministry in your life. And the last one I believe that God uses is we need to assess these tremendous pivotal circumstances in our life. The kind of circumstances that could be really high or really low, really good or really bad. These kind of circumstances have a chance and an opportunity for our faith to grow. God wants that in each and every one of our lives. One thing else I have learned, I have never met a Christian that I have admired who I would call as a person deep in their faith. And that when they talk to you and they give their testimony, they always start telling you about different people that came into their lives at different times. I think that's because God uses providential relationships to grow your faith. Just for a moment, I would like you to think right now of simply one person. Just one. Like one person that ever came into your life. You see, that contributed to your spiritual journey. You just think of that person right now. Be thankful for that person. I have never heard anybody, by the way, who was being baptized or giving a testimony and ever say words like, "Here's who I would like to thank. I'd just like to thank only the Lord because I was just one day wondering about God and I came to the conclusion that I thought God existed, and if he existed, then I believed that God wanted to have a relationship with me, and I believed that God probably did send his son to die for my sins, and I put my faith and trust in him. And now I'm a born-again believer into his family, but there's not a person I need to thank. I just want to thank the Lord." I've never heard that. When you hear someone give their testimony, they start talking about people in their lives. And the reason is God uses providential relationships to help grow your faith. Now, just like in my case with Pastor Dave, providential relationships often start unexpectedly. You don't expect it to happen. Open your Bibles to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19 in verse 15. The context is the great prophet Elijah. considered perhaps the greatest prophet of Israel. And God is speaking to Elijah. In verse 15, it says, "The Lord said to him, 'Go and return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael,'" he says, "'king over Aram, and Jehu, the king of Nimshi. And you shall anoint him king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, he said of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as a prophet in your place.'" You're going to replace yourself with this fella. Now, verse 19. "So he departed," that's Elijah, and he says from there, "and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him. And he was with the 12. And Elijah passed over to him and threw his mantle on him." Now, not really talking about the story, but the context. What kind of day do you think that was for Elisha? Plowing day. It's the day we plow. In fact, this must be a very large field. You have all of these oxen. He has a pair of them himself. You got 12 oxen. Everyone's plowing. All that Elisha would have to be thinking about is, this is a day like every other day. You know what it's like. You'll find out tomorrow morning. It's Monday. Okay? And it's going to feel just like every other Monday. It's just the way life works. It's redundant. So he's out there plowing. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes Elijah, this great prophet, and he takes his mantle off. What a prophet wore, he puts it on top of him. That's a divine appointment. And they start a providential relationship. This relationship is amazing. By the way, for the next 6, 7, 8 years, you don't hear one word about Elisha. None. What's he doing? Just hanging around with Elijah. That's all he does. He's being trained. Then at the end of that time, Elijah's taken up in a whirlwind. Right in front of him. And Elisha starts a ministry. By the way, his ministry lasted 60 years. That's a ministry. 4 different kings, all of them evil. Elisha becomes this incredible man of God, and you know why? Because of a single providential relationship that God brought into his life, a divine appointment with Elijah. Now, let's look at it from a New Testament point of view. Let's go to Matthew 4 in a very familiar passage. Verse 18, Matthew chapter 4. "Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw 2 brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, I will make you fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. And going on from there, he saw 2 other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him." Again, what kind of day was this for these 4 men? Just like every other fishing day. They weren't thinking about anything. They were certainly not in a religious context. They're just fishing. And a rabbi, at this time, who walks up to them, they don't know exactly who he is, and he says, "Follow me." How profound is that? That's a divine appointment in the next 3.5 years, the providential relationship. And these are 4 of the most strategic men who changed the world for Jesus Christ. You see, that can happen in those kind of settings. One more. Go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 15. The book of Acts, chapter 15. The book of Acts, chapter 15, the second missionary journey. Paul was about to embark on his second missionary journey in verse 36. And it says, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, that's who went with him in the first, let us return and visit the brethren in every city which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. That's the context. Now, and he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, and he said, strengthening the churches. And Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. Now, here's the point. And a disciple was there. Now, that doesn't mean one of the 12. A disciple, that word just means student. It's sort of like it may mean a follower, but not necessarily. It's usually someone interested. Sometimes it means follower, sometimes it doesn't. In this case, it does. He says there was a disciple there, and his name was Timothy. And he was the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. But his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. So this is a young man who knows Christ, who other people admire. They think, wow, this guy's pretty good. He's a good servant of the Lord. That's all. He's just doing his job. And it says, and Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and he circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now that's a divine appointment. Timothy is just a guy serving the Lord, just like so often so many of us just serve the Lord in a nondescript place. He's just thinking, I'm happy to do this. I'll live my life out here. People around here will think well of me. And then when I die, a few people will show up at my funeral. And then the world will forget me. But that's not what happened, is it? Paul shows up, divine appointment, and he begins a providential relationship. Now, by the way, that's a day that Timothy will never forget. He's a young man, and he was circumcised by Paul, by the way, before he went into the ministry. That's astounding when you think of that day. He'll never forget that day. The question of it is this, though. What turns out happening with Timothy? Two epistles written, used strategically by Paul. The last words Paul ever writes are to Timothy. What a profound thing. He had no idea. A divine appointment and then a providential relationship. That's so important to Paul that turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, these are the last words Paul writes. He and Timothy have had a relationship for years. Notice how he writes to Timothy. Verse 1, you therefore, my son. That's his relationship. Timothy's not a disciple now, not just a disciple. He's a son. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What's he saying? Have a strong faith. You're going to need it. Have a strong faith. Then he says this, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. There's the principle. Timothy, you know what I meant to you? Now, would you take that and mean that to some other men who would take it and mean it to some other men? See, the whole principle of the New Testament church is not addition, it's multiplication. But all of this begins because of a divine appointment and a providential relationship. That's how God operates. Providential relationships often come unexpectedly. Something else that we have to say, relationships are not necessarily the key. Relationships can be positive, good, or terrible with their consequences. Turn with me now to Proverbs 13, a proverb of Solomon. By the way, this proverb, if you have a college kid that's going to be living in a dorm, get this made into a refrigerator magnet so that they can see it every day. Solomon says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion, and notice the word companion means it doesn't just simply mean a moment. It means companion, spending time with. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. How many times have you ever tried to get that across to your kids? Everybody, I think every parent's tried that. And the only trouble is when they're a teenager, it's almost like someone immunized them against this. You know? And you know that because you were a teenager. You know, you think about it from a completely different perspective at that time. But it's solid advice. You see, the idea of it is that, and it's an easy principle, you become who you hang out with. That's kind of the way life is. That's relationships. I always say this to parents, and they never probably believe me about this, but if you want to know what your children are like, just look at their friends. Just see who their friends are. And it's almost always, no. My child's nothing like their friends. My child's wonderful. Their friends, I'm not too sure. No, your child's just like their friends. That's the principle, because you could become who you hang out with. And now you have to be careful. Let's take that principle of the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, a single verse by the Apostle Paul. And for you parents that have that view of your children, this verse will apply more to you. Verse 33, 1 Corinthians 15. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Okay? Now, what's so great about that verse, by the way, is that it's not Hebrew. It has no orientation in Proverbs. The point is pretty much Jewish wisdom, but it's Greek. It's a quote from a Greek playwright, Meander. This is his quote. He says, bad company corrupts good morals. And notice how he sets it up. Don't be deceived. Why does he have to tell us that? Because we are easily deceived. You see, we are easily deceived in this area. It won't really corrupt me. That's sort of the argument we use. It's not going to corrupt me. I think it will. I think that's the principle of it.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.